we hope that you will be able to stay around and join us for reflections upon the precious book, Divine. Now, before we get started with our song, and then we'll have our prayer list, if you have opportunity to write your prayer list down in the chat window, you can certainly join us, and that might be on the Gospel Radio Network side, the radio internet, and you can do that by going into the chat window there. There's just a little sign-in button. You just put your first name in either one of these and come and join us. Or you can join us on the YouTube studio live by going to YouTube and finding the Nesbitt Church of Christ channel. Once you find that, you should be able to find out how to log in to our live feed at this particular time. And I see that we have several fine Bible students that have already joined us today. Sister Sainer from Southern Oklahoma, Sister Jensen from the state of Washington, and Sister Woodall from the state of Wisconsin. And she's joining us, she says, while rocking her twins, or well, her daughter's twins. And so that must be a wonderful opportunity. Miss Mona is really hating the fact that she has not been able to go to Okinawa, Japan, in order to rock and cuddle with that new grandchild of hers. Even though, well, I think she just turned 6 months just the other day. And so Miss Mona's about to go fits not being over there with her grandchildren. So we certainly understand what that means. And so, but anyway, we appreciate the fact that you are joining us. We know that we have others that listen along the way. I get notes every now and then from people that don't sign in, or they don't chat with us, and they'll send me a note a little later on and say that they've been appreciating the program, and we're always grateful for that. We're always grateful that we know who is listening as well. It kind of helps us in the determination of whether or not we are whether or not we need to be here. I don't want to waste my time, and I don't think you want to waste your time. And that's the reason why you're here, is because we're going to reflect upon the precious book, Divine. Well, let me extend an invitation to you, seeing that today we're actually going to be talking about irresistible invitations. I want to give you an invitation to join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ for our opportunities of Bible study and worship. Now, if you love Bible study, you're going to love the Nesbitt Church of Christ. Sunday mornings, we are studying about 2 Thessalonians, and on Wednesday night, we're studying about the great scheme of redemption. We would love to have you. A fine group of Christian people are waiting you. If you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, come by and see us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. Now, you might be saying, okay, where is Nesbitt? I want to go, but where is Nesbitt? Well, we're nestled in the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. And so come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, 685 Nesbitt Road, right here in Nesbitt, Mississippi. All right, if you're, let's see here, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area, I want to welcome you to the program. I want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. If you're listening to us through the Bangs radio station, we want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Bangs Church of Christ. Again, wonderful invitations offered by these individuals. They love company. They love for people to drop in on them on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and they would consider you their honored guest. A couple other invitations I have to offer. May the 2nd through the 5th, right here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, we're going to be hosting our spring gospel meeting with Brother Mike Bonner, and the theme this year is the eternal nature of truth. And I will tell you, I love that theme. I can't wait to hear our good brother, Brother Mike Bonner, join us for that particular event, the Eternal Nature of Truth, May 2nd through the 5th, right here, Nesbitt Church of Christ. And then the final invitation for today is the 5th Annual Men's Development Conference at the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas. All things are being prepared behind the scenes, and all things are being made ready. I think the registration is open. You can go to the BCS Church of Christ College Station, Texas website, and you can register. And that will be June the 2nd through the 6th. I believe there are advertisements already up for that particular event. If not, let me know. I'll check later today and make sure. But we certainly want to extend this invitation to you to join us there at the BCS Church of Christ. All right, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. Now, Sister Joyce has joined us as well from Texas. Good to have you with us. We're grateful that you can be with us as well. And so we have our Bible students are lining up, and that means we're going to have a song, Walking on Heaven's Road, and then after that particular song, we will have our prayer. So if you want to, go ahead and start including your prayer list so that I'll have that ready before we get to the prayer. And there are several things that we certainly want to keep in our prayers. Sometimes I don't keep up with the national news, so I don't know all the things that are going on, but I do know that nationally we need a lot of prayers in regards to the direction that we seem to be going at this time. Well, not just seem to be going, we've been falling down this hill for some time, but we want to encourage, and we certainly want to strengthen the hearts and the resolve of faithful people around the world. And so here's our song, Walking on Heaven's Road.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Generally, you're burdened down, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way.
I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand and singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, please join me in a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before Thy righteous throne at this particular time, we realize that we do not deserve to be here of our own merit, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ do we belong within Thy presence. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would receive our gift of walking with Thee, that our life might glorify Thee, that it might bring praise and adoration from others, because they see our good works and they glorify Thee. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the great love that You have demonstrated over time in the sending of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to be so brutally sacrificed upon that cruel cross at Calvary. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would help remind the world through Thy great providence and Thy great care over it that Thou has demonstrated Thy love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We pray that we might use our influence, that we might use our voices, and that we might lend our voices to the multiplicity of voices that You have left in this world to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, to let them know that Thou art an eternal, immense, great God, and that You deserve praise and adoration from Your creatures. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You be with the church today as the struggles that face her are mounting, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that those struggles from within of indifference and apathy and false doctrine might be defeated, that those challenges from without of the false philosophies of the world and persecution and ridicule of irrelevance might be eradicated, and that we might overcome those challenges, and that we might once again be a force of influence in this community and in our community and in the world. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would be with all of those, our governors, our lawmakers, our judges, and our president, that You would be with him as he makes decisions, and all those of his staffers around him, that those decisions that will be made might be made out of a love for Thee and a love for humanity. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would be with all of those that are ill and sick, and those that are depressed, and those that are hurting. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would bless them through us, that we might be the conduit by which Thy glorious mercies might be shed to other people. We ask that You bless us as we sit down now and as we study Thy Word together, that we might be enriched and edified and strengthened through Thy wonderful Word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. One of the things that we always try to do is we always try to have a, and Sister Woodall, you might have to help me to remember what that is, what we called that, a Bonner moment, but I can't remember what that was. I'm getting a little too old, I guess, but we're going to have a little Bonner moment with us today. Brother Bonner sent me this the other day. Ah, the Bonner bonus. That's right. I appreciate that. This is the Bonner bonus today. You have to listen to me until you can get to the Bonner bonus, and I like that. So here's our Bonner bonus of the day. For some, life is shorter than others. However long your life is, we can always work on getting rid of some of the weights that causes anxiety, confusion, and hardships. Notice what Paul told the brethren to get rid of, Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, irritation, and wrath, resentment, and anger, violent passion, and clamor, being loud, and evil speaking, talking ill, be put away from you with all malice. No time for these, yet think on things that causes you to bless others and build up others. What a beautiful Bonner moment that we have experienced. And that, my friends, is a bonus for today. And so the Bonner bonus has been bestowed upon us today. And I just can't wait until May the 2nd and I get to spend a whole week. Brother Bonner and I used to spend every day together. And only by coming here to Nesbitt that daily activity cease. And so I miss it dearly. And I am looking forward to that time together with my beloved brother, Mike Bonner. All right, well, let's see here. Before we get started with our lesson of the hour, I've grown to love this song, and hopefully I can get to a point, and we have it in our song books, to where I can actually lead it for the congregation. And you understand that I am not a song leader and that I am not much of a song singer. So you have to tolerate me during these particular times. But I love this particular song, A Shelter in the Time of Storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a
shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round blast me,
a shelter in the time of storm.
We'll never leave our safe retreat,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a weary land, a weary land.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge near,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Be thou our helper ever near,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a weary land, a weary land.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a shelter in the time of storm.
A shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm.
All right, another beautiful song added to our repertoire, I guess you would say. And I always love great gospel songs. I love to sing, but I just can't do it very well. But I'm so blessed that God did not say, sing well. He just said, sing. And so I am blessed to do it to the best of my ability. But today we're going to be focusing our attention upon a continued aspect of that lady who's built her house, wisdom. She's built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. And as such, we're involved in those pillars. But if I might remind you of just a couple of things along the way as we get started here, that in the Bible, wisdom is always God-oriented and practical. That wisdom is the use of one's knowledge, insight, and skill to the glory of God. That true wisdom is ordering one's life by God-given counsel. Now, wisdom enables us to turn every good thing to its rightful purpose. It's very practical. In fact, it is generally understood as the practical application of knowledge. But it's even more than that. It's the practical application of knowledge turned to its best end, turned to its divine origin or divine purpose in life. And so, you think about wisdom in relationship to life itself as it is practiced. Think about Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, does that not demonstrate great wisdom when we allow our works to be seen of men for the purpose of giving glory unto God? How about Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so when we exercise our the Christian walk, then we are doing what we were designed to do. I think of the book of Titus every time I think of works, because the entire theme of that good book is about the works that we do. Now, there are some who it says in verse number 16 of chapter 1, it says that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And it says, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, they are reprobate. In other words, they have they talk a good game, but they never actually activate Christianity in their life. And then, of course, in showing thyself a pattern of good works is what the young men are to do in chapter 2 and verse number 7. And then you remember that in chapter 3 and verse number 1 toward the end, he says that we ought to put the brethren in mind to be ready unto every good work. Now then, in chapter 3 and verse number 8, that we would maintain these good works. And verse number 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. We're created for that purpose. And so wisdom in the New Testament is for a Christian to work, to be engaged in the work of the church, to be engaged in the activity of Christianity. That is our means by which we glorify God. And so it is so important that we keep that in mind. You know, when wisdom is first mentioned in the Bible, it is in reference to the skill in making things or building things. And this goes along with our theme of wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out those seven pillars, right? The very first time we find in Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 3, it says, thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, to whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And so wisdom was exercise, skill, to the glory of God. You see, that's how the word wisdom is utilized. So the theme of building is associated with wise counsel throughout Scripture. God gave Solomon a great wisdom and understanding in order to build the temple. Exodus chapter 31. And so he built the temple with regard... First Kings chapter 8 and 9. You'll find that wisdom in there. But here, I want you to notice in Proverbs now, Proverbs 9 and verse number 1 again, wisdom hath builded her house. And in Proverbs 24 and verse number 3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And so reminding us of what true wisdom, biblical wisdom, is all about becomes very important again. But even more than that, when you think about wise wisdom, that wisdom is oftentimes exercised as one of its good works as the ability to give counsel to others. Who is it that we seek in the congregation or in life if it's not a wise man? Somebody that we consider to have great wisdom, those are the people that we seek out and we want to know information from them, right? Proverbs 8 and verse number 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Now, who's doing the talking there? Wisdom is. And so wisdom is counsel. Counsel is mine, she says. Verse number 12, she would say, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And so wisdom then is vitally important with regards to the carrying out of our Christian service. We ought to be very wise. And so we've talked about this process and how this process of wisdom is exercised in this woman's house with regards to hospitality. She is preparing for a gathering, and evidently it's going to be a good-sized gathering in the home that she has prepared. She wants everything to go right, just like a woman preparing for hospitality. She wants everything to be suitable and even above and board. So she has advanced preparation, right? That's the first pillar. Orderly organization, wise delegation, strategic communication. But now, if you'll notice, in at the beginning of verse number 3, it says, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth. Now, where she cries is the strategic aspect of that. She's up in a high area so she can call down, and the voice will carry over a longer period or longer area. We need to think about that in regards to the communication of the gospel as well, that we're very strategic with it. Use the best means of advertising or communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now today, what does she say? She crieth, but what does she say? Here's what she says. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Now, I want you to notice, and I just want to pause just a half a second on something here, because generally we use the word simple in a negative way. Well, that's a simpleton. That person has a simple mind, and it's generally used in a negative sense. Many times in the Bible, it is used in a negative sense. There's no doubt about that, but it's not just a negative word. That a simple man is a man think about it from this, he failed to make proper preparations. Let's say that you're out, you're in an area that you just can't go get a meal, but you're out there and you fail to prepare properly. That's the simple-minded, not properly preparing for the things of life. You've worked hard all day. You haven't taken a break. You are soiled. You are, you're dirty. You're nasty. And you didn't think ahead of time. And here you are. You need a bath. You need to refresh a little bit. And you need a meal, but you've got no place for that. And then you see a cabin off in the area and somebody there. And they say, hey, come on over here. I'll prepare you a bath. I'll make you a meal. How refreshing. Now, by the way, if there are some dangers to that, but you understand what I'm saying with the illustration. When somebody invites you, or maybe a coworker says, listen, I've got you. You didn't bring your wallet you're in need. You didn't make a motel reservation. You have no money. And he says, listen, I got you, okay? Let's get you a room, get you cleaned up. We'll go out to eat. Don't worry about it. I got you. How refreshing is that to have such friendships as that, or such an invitation as that? Sometimes the word simple just simply means that they haven't thought everything through. That's how it's utilized in that regards. And so they're not the great thinkers of the world, right? They're not the methodical thinkers of the world. So they're just simple-minded in that sense. But sometimes it is also used in the sense of open-mindedness. See, the simple man will hear the invitation and will accept the invitation. So sometimes what is being referred to is an open-minded individual. How often it is that because Christians are open-minded to the evidence of the gospel, that our atheistic and hedonistic friends would refer to us as, that's right, simple-minded, right? Because we are not of the great thinkers of the world, they would say, oh, yeah. Now, the Bible would sometimes, the common people heard Jesus gladly. So it becomes very important. So I want you to be able to see the invitation. She is not degrading. Hey, all you simple-minded individuals, come on in and I'll take care of you. That's really not what she's saying. She's offering a beautiful invitation for people to come by and to partake. She has something they need, and she is willing to use of her resources in order to bring them in. I'm thinking of the invitation that Jesus offered to individuals who spurned his invitation, and he said, go out on the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. In other words, he had something some people didn't want it. They had a closed heart. But here are individuals, the people who really, 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 really need things, those are the people that are going to be open-minded to the invitation. And so that becomes very important for us. An invitation, you think about, this is not just an invitation, it's designed as an irresistible invitation. And I'll have to admit, one of my weak areas, and I've struggled with this, and I've tried to work on this from time to time over 40 years of preaching, and maybe you might say, well, if you've worked on it for 40 years and you ain't got it down, you better do a better job next time in regards to working on it. But invitations are not always easy. An irresistible invitation is even more difficult. And so it takes a lot of thought, a lot of preparation. It's not something you can do most of the time just off of the fly. So an irresistible invitation. You know, there's something special, is it not, about an invitation? Doesn't it make you feel special when you get an invitation? It makes you feel like you're a part of something. I know I've been to places and I've been to lectureship somewhere I'm there by myself, and or maybe Miss Mona goes with me, and we're there and we're there for several days, and nobody seems to invite you out or invite you anywhere. Everybody's going to lunch or going to supper somewhere, and they're always inviting their friends, and but you never get an invitation. That can be kind of lonely when you're not with yourself. This is why Miss Mona and I, we are very, she's even more particular than me in regards to this, but you don't come to services here at Nesbitt unless something is just drastically happening in our life without getting an invitation. You get an invitation to our house. Not everybody's like that, I understand, but I've been to places where I've not received an invitation and I didn't feel wanted. I didn't feel like I was accepted in that particular group, and by the way, I wasn't. It doesn't cause me to stay up at night. But I'm just saying the practice of hospitality here that Sister Woodall mentions is a part of being a Christian, and it means that we notice people. Hospitality by definition involves strangers. That's a part of the definition. It's love extended, it's compassion extended toward someone that is not a part of your special group, you see. Now, I had a man tell me one time, he said, listen, I'm hospitable. I take care of my family, and when my family needed this, that part of my family stayed with me, and this part of my family stayed with me. And I'm like, I don't think you get the idea of the definition of hospitality. I'm not talking about, listen, you should be kind, and you should take care of your family. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. But this is not in relationship to family. This is in relationship to even people that are outside that family. And so there are always people that you can go out with at the local church. But when somebody comes in and they visit and they're not, especially when they're not a member of the body of Christ, or let's say that, then you need to make them feel welcome. You see, that's a part of that. I want everybody that walks in to that door that has never been here before, I want them to feel special. I want them to feel as if we want them to be here, and that we're not, you know, it's not, what are you doing here? It's we are so grateful that you are here. An invitation is something that's very powerful indeed, and it's a good way, it's a powerful way to reach out to others. I think about maybe just a few illustrations. A man invites a young lady out for a date. Now, she fancies the young man, so there's a mutual response there, but he invites her out for the date. Does it make her feel special? Does it make her feel like she's wanted and accepted? Absolutely. A business person invites a client out for lunch. A housewife invites another housewife, a friend, over for coffee or tea in the afternoon. Does it make you feel special, wanted, or accepted? Certainly it does. You invite another, speaking of hospitality, you invite a family over for a dinner. You know, I've followed some preachers in some areas to where congregation, I had one where a fellow had been here, he had been before me for a couple of years, and one of the members says, well, I've never been in this house. I've never been invited to this house. And I'm like, really? Now, I understand sometimes people fall through the gaps. This was really a person that probably shouldn't. But I understand that that's not the M.O. of everybody, but it is the M.O. of what the Scripture calls good works for a Christian, right? Unless they make you pay for their dinner. Yeah. Well, there have been times when I guess people are strapped and they say, it's Dutch treat. Come out and join us for dinner. It's still an invitation. But now make sure that you mention, and I like Sister Woodall's notation, make sure they know ahead of time it's Dutch treat, right? And make sure they know what that means. But an invitation is vitally important. And it's something that you see all the way throughout the Bible. God is the best at offering irresistible invitations. In fact, one of the things that we ought to do, or maybe I'm pointing toward myself, I ought to do better, is to show how irresistible the gospel invitation is. That is something that's absolutely essential. God has always been an inviter, right? Let's just think about a couple of passages here. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18 was the theme of our lectureship this past year. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now, let us reason together. There's an invitation made by God to come and to reason. But he doesn't stop there. He says, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Now notice the irresistible nature of this invitation. They shall be white as snow. Oh, if you reason with me, then your sins, no matter how bad they are, I'm going to take care of them. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. What an invitation that God offers, an invitation to the forgiveness of sin. Now, if you read the context of Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll just go down through a couple of these things, notice how horrible these people are. This invitation is not given to the best of Israel. Notice, he says, an ox, verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished up and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that have that are corruptors, and they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One to Israel. He talks about them from the top of the head all the way to the sole of the foot. There is no health or soundness. These are a despicable group of people in regards to the way they live. They're revolting against the God of heaven who had created them and blessed them. He goes on to say, they have wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have neither been bound up nor clothed with ointment. I always like to pause here to show you how powerful the invitation is. You have to see how horrible these people really are. Here are people, you can imagine, let's say that you're at a fast food place, maybe McDonald's, we'll just choose a fast food place, and or Wendy's, there you are, you're standing in line, and a person comes in behind you, and they don't have very many clothes on. This man is behind you, he has no shirt on, and he has shorts, and they're going to allow him to just be there in line, and he has sores all over his body, and they're oozing out, kind of like Sister Woodall, the snot that runs out of those little kids' noses as it drips down when they got, and you know, you chew, and it just kind of drops down, and it's a putrefying sore. It's oozing out, and it's red and orange and a little green and yellow in there. It's yucky at that particular point. But then I want you to imagine that person recognizes you. Ah, Christine! And he opens up his arms to give you a hug. Now you're fixing to have a hamburger. You're going to feel like eating at that. God is saying when he looks down upon his people at this particular time, I guess you're not going gross, Sister Higgins. You're not going to McDonald's today for lunch, I gather. But I want you to notice he goes on to say that they're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, verse number 21, how has the faithful city become a harlot? Now, there's no one who wants to be married to a harlot, a woman who gives herself to any man. There's no woman that I know of with any sense that wants to be married to a man who's sleeping around with every woman on the block and anybody he can get into bed. And yet that's how. But God says those kind of people, to those kind of people, I have an irresistible invitation to you. I'm going to take all that away. All the pain, the agony that is associated with a lifestyle such as that, I will be glad to take that away from you if you'll sit down and reason with me. What an invitation that God is offering there. Now, turn with me. And by the way, in Isaiah, he's fond of making these invitations. But Isaiah chapter 55, notice verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delighteth in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What an invitation. You got no money? No problem here. You see, at God's kingdom, there is no charge, you see. You got no money? You got nothing to bring? Bring yourself. Come on in. What an invitation. Offerings of those willing to hear, that so that they can truly be satisfied. God isn't concerned about how much money you make. That may be impressive to your neighbors. All the toys that you have invested in may be impressive to the world, but it's not impressive to God. The cattle upon a thousand hills belong to Him. He is the creator and sustainer of this universe. He owns it all, in fact. And yet, He's willing to offer an invitation for us. for salvation. Jesus offered that great invitation, did he not? In fact, there are three invitations they're not the only three, but I just want you to think about these three invitations. The first invitation that comes to mind, no doubt, is Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He would say that his yoke is not heavy, and that we need to come and gather in that rest. What an invitation that Jesus offers at this particular time, that he is willing to give rest. You got a hard life. Sin is a hard taskmaster, and yet he is willing to offer and to give rest. Now think about the second invitation in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 17. You know, it is said that if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. The same is true. Listen to Jesus' words. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the second invitation is so satisfying with these items. And so the invitation to rest, the invitation to discipleship, and then the third invitation, notice here, is to abide in Jesus. In John 15 and verse number 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you." Now, if I abide in him, and in fact, in verse number 6, I believe it is, he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So the great benefits, there are these invitations. By the way, think about this. The multiplicity of distress, the troubled souls that we are, the wearisome of life itself, he beckons us to come unto him, and he'll give us rest. Rest, joy, peace, security, affection, salvation, the forgiveness of sins. All of those things belong to his invitation. What a beautiful invitation invitations that he offers. How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit offers invitations, right? In Revelation 22 and verse number 17, the Spirit and the bride. Well, that would be the church, the Holy Spirit and the church. But the Holy Spirit here offers, he says, come, and he that thirsts, let him come, and they will be filled. Their thirst will be taken care of. And so the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they all offer. Deity offers an irresistible invitation. No matter how wicked you might be, Paul describes himself as the chiefest of sinners, and yet Jesus specifically appeared to the road of Damascus to offer him an invitation. The invitation there was to go into Damascus, and there it will be told thee what thou must do. And then Ananias, that disciple there, was sent unto him to offer the invitation of the gospel itself. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." And so what a wonderful opportunity that we have. But you know what? The Bible prophesies that the church would offer invitations. I'm going to stick just with Isaiah here. There are a couple other places that we could go to, but go back to Isaiah chapter 2 and notice with me what it says here concerning verses 2 and 3. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house," this is a prophecy about the church, "the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say," notice, they're going to offer an invitation, "Come ye and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways," and so forth. What an invitation. That's a prophecy that when the church comes about, there's going to be invitations that are going to be given out. Well, we find certainly there was, Andrew invited his brother Peter, right, to meet Jesus in John 1, verses 40 through 42. Philip then would invite Nathanael, you remember, to meet Jesus in verses 43 through 46. Just come and see, right? That's really all it really takes. Come and see. Come, let us go. That's the invitations that are given. Come now, let us reason together. Come, and he will teach us his ways. All of those are sweet. You know, sometimes I think we make evangelism much too difficult. Listen, sometimes it's just an invitation. You're sitting down, you're having coffee, and you're telling people about why, and by the way, why not tell people about the beauty of Christianity? But why not start with just the local assembly? You will not believe what our preacher said the other day. What was that? What an invitation. There's an invitation to open up the ear, right? You're talking about strategic and irresistible. You just invest in somebody and say, you'll never believe what our preacher said the other day. Well, now make sure that it was something irresistible, but that means you got to listen to the sermon, right? But why not? You're having lunch with someone. This is someone that you care about, someone that you know, somebody that you associate with, and you're not really talking to them about religion. You'd say, you'll never believe what our preacher said. You'll never, by the way, that you'll never believe is irresistible to people's ears. You'll never believe what happened to me. You'll never believe what happened to me the other day. Well, people will say, what? What happened? They want to know the rest of the story, right? Give me a little Paul Harvey. Here's the rest of the story. Well, that is an irresistible invitation for you to tell. Well, let me tell you what our preacher said. And he goes on, but have something in mind that you're going to tell them that the preacher actually said. But how simple is that? And you can end that conversation by saying, listen, you need to come and see. Come and hear. I asked the preacher what he's going to preach. Some preachers don't like it. I know sometimes I don't like to give out my sermon. Sometimes that's a good thing. Hey, you'll never believe what our preacher's going to preach on this Sunday. Well, that's an invitation. What's he going to preach on? Well, what's so out of order that you feel compelled to tell me? Well, listen, he's going to preach on whatever. And listen, come and hear. You want to come and hear this. This is what we do when preachers first arrive, right? Hey, we got a new preacher. You need to come hear him. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. We ought to do that. But what happens if the preacher's been there 10 years? You can't say, hey, we got a new preacher, come and hear him. Hey, we got this old guy, no, make it irresistible, right? That's right, tell them the old, old story. And the old, old story is eternally new. Now, that's the beauty of it. It's an old, old story of Jesus and his love, but it is as new and as fresh as the daily newspaper. Well, my friends, we are rapidly coming down to the close, but this is the aspect of this woman, and she wants people to come to her house. You know what I tell people? Here's what I tell people. Listen, you're going to want to come to my house for supper because I'm going to pull some steaks out of the freezer, and I'm going to cook them up on my green egg, or it's going to be pan-seared and some of the best steaks that you've ever eaten. Raised out on a farm in Oklahoma, butchered up well. This is prime steak. Not only that, Miss Mona's going to make some banana pudding. And you've never had banana pudding until you've eaten Miss Mona's banana pudding. And that, my friends, is an irresistible invitation. Come over, Willis. We're going to have some hamburgers. Miss Mona's going to make some of her banana pudding. We're going to have a couple pies, maybe a chocolate pie. What kind of pie you like? You see, that's right. It don't change anything. I haven't changed anything, right? But I'm going to ask them what they want. What kind of pie do you like? And I like coconut cream pie. Well, guess what? Miss Mona's going to make you a, just special for you, she's going to make you a coconut cream pie. Now, how are you going to resist that invitation? Miss Mona's going to do something special for you. How do you like your hamburgers done? I'm going to cook them the way you like them, you see. That's irresistible invitation. That's what this lady is offering. This is the fifth pillar in this house and these pillars that she has hewn out. So, my friends, I want to thank you for being with me today here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine. God bless and have a wonderful day.